Good morning. It's 22nd of July. Our first reading for the day is 2 Samuel 7. Once again, I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant. Nathan the prophet has come, and now I read. David listened, enthralled and deeply moved, as Nathan repeated the Lord's words. Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Perhaps for the first time, David realized how great a thing he had desired to do. Can a man build a house for God? Would God dwell in it? Could he dwell in it? Gently, the Lord led David along the path of understanding. Since the day that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, I have not dwelt in any house, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. God had walked with Israel, but often they had not walked with him. Journeying with men, tabernacling with them, was the Lord's way. He invites us to walk with him as pilgrims and sojourners together with God. Humble thyself to walk with thy God, says Micah in chapter 6. God in a tent was a marvellous incongruity, and yet a salutary exhortation and lesson. The Lord God cannot dwell with men, yet. Even when Solomon had completed the temple of divine design, he had the wisdom to perceive the inadequacy of the work of human hands. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? 1 Kings chapter 8. Stephen caught up this idea and took it a step further. Solomon built him an house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Lord inhabits holiness and dwells in a house of praise. These things come not by the labours of sinful man, however sincere he might be. They come from the Master Builder, and rest upon the foundation which no man can lay, even Christ. David received the unfolding message with deepening understanding. The Lord made it plain that the work was his. I took thee from the sheepcote to be a ruler over my people. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. I will appoint a place for my people Israel. The Lord will build thee a house. I will set up thy seed after thee. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will be his father. The whole work was the Lord's, and David was but a part of it. The choice was not David's, but God's. The final resting place for the name of the Lord of hosts, the house in which he could dwell, would be built by a son of the house of David, who would be son of God. David perceived an immediate application of these things, an interim and lesser meaning in a child which would proceed from his own loins. But beyond this, he sensed that God had caught him up in the eternal scheme, the rainbow purpose of God, overarching all things. Nathan departed, his work done. David arose and walked over to the place where the ark rested, enclosed in its curtains. He sat humbly before the Lord, transported by the wonder and grace of God's promise to him. No longer was he the king in his house of cedar, seeking how he might bestow, albeit reverently, some blessing on the ark of the Lord, by bringing it into a permanent abode in Jerusalem. He sank back in mind to his lowly origins and poured out his prayer. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me thus far? And this was yet a small thing in thine eyes, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Thank you for listening.